Good morning to each of you this morning. It's our pleasure to be with you. It's the first time we're here. And a lot of you I do not know. So hopefully by the end of today, that hopefully will change some. So we were privileged to have Brother Nelson with us at Kirkwood for our Bible conference here in I guess that's April. And so he came down and preached for us three times. And I think Delbert was down too. For a Sunday, so it's, I think they felt like they had some leverage to pull somebody here. So we're here this morning, and we're glad to be here. Bring you greetings from the friends at Kirkwood. If you know anybody there, you're welcome to stop by. We're glad for people to stop in and pay us all a visit there. Well, as we were singing that song, it's like, thank God this morning that he is great and that he's good and he's merciful, because he seeks for the sheep who have gone astray. And I just became overwhelmed by emotion by that, because I was a sheep that had gone astray. Even after I began my Christian life, I allowed lust in my eyes and the lust of the flesh, and pornography came into my life and destroyed me. And thank God that he came looking for me. I needed help. I was blind. Thank God for victory. And thank God every day that he is who he is, and that he is patient, and that he is kind, and he does call. And he's not willing that anyone here would perish, but that we all would find life. That's his heart's desire. Well, for a message this morning, you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'd like to look at a very familiar verse that we all know, probably know it by heart, and just pull some inspiration for us out of this passage here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. We have Paul, he's writing to the Corinthians here. And he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's a verse that we all know. We know that verse. We know where to find it. We can probably say it by heart, but do we know the truth that's in this verse? Let's break this verse apart just a bit. Who is responsible for the cleansing here? Who are the ones that are responsible for the cleaning? And Paul says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. It's you and I this morning. Are we okay talking like that? We need to do something this morning. Paul is saying, let us cleanse ourselves. This is something that we need to do. This is something that will take action on my part. There's something I need to do. In fact, God requires his children to do. He's requiring something of his children in this verse. Let us cleanse ourselves. We are the ones that are responsible for this cleansing, Paul is saying here. Let us cleanse ourselves. What are we to cleanse? To cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. We're cleansing the flesh and the spirit. This cleansing goes in two different ways. You have the flesh and the spirit. What's that? Often when we think about the flesh, we think about something negative. We talk about crucifying and putting to death our flesh. But that's really not what Paul has in mind here. He's just talking about our body, your body. It's in a neutral sense. It's not negative. It's your body. It's your outward who you are. That's your flesh. It's the outside. It's the things that we do. It's the things that our hands do. It's the places where our feet go. It's the things that our eyes see. It's the things that our tongues say. That's the outside of our body. That is the flesh that Paul is talking about here. And then we have the spirit. Well, that's the inside of who you are. That's the part that no one can see. It's the part that I can't see. Only God can see that. It's your mind. It's your heart. It's the deepest part of who you really are. It's inside of you. It's your spirit. And so the message of this verse this morning is that God wants us to be clean on the inside and on the outside. That is God's desire for his people. Well, what is the desired result of this self-cleansing? It is perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Some other versions read like this, bringing holiness to completion. Holiness this morning it's attainable. Paul is saying it's something that you can reach, and you can get a hold of it, and you can live that way. It's something that it's possible to experience. And so this morning, perhaps no one knows where you are. I know where I am. You know where you are. There's many things that can come into our mind that no one can see, but yet God can see. God knows what's inside of us. He knows what we're thinking. And so don't deceive yourself this morning. It's really not that important what other people think about you. It's really more important what God thinks about you. And what does God see? That's what really is important. Not what other men think or see. And so this morning we need to take this verse seriously if we're going to endeavor to cleanse the inside and the outside. And so this morning, living a holy life, bringing it to completion, living in it, perfecting it, that is something that is attainable according to this verse. Paul is expecting us to live this way, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so there is a completion that comes as we walk with God and as He walks with us. It is something that we can experience here, right now, today. You and I can be living a holy life. That's possible for us. So this morning, do you think about being holy? Is that something that you long for? Is that something that you long to be, is to be holy? Is that something that you think about? Well, this morning, Paul says if we want to attain that, if we want to live that, there's something that we need to do. There's something that I need to do. We need to cleanse ourselves. There is a way, Paul says, to get to living a holy life. There is a way to get there. We can talk about it this morning. We can analyze it. We can preach about it. I mean, do you know what holiness means? What is a definition of holy? Do you know what that means? Anybody, do you have a definition of what that means?
The absence of defilement.
All right. No defilement. Good.
Pure and without sin.
All right, pure without sin. All right, good. You're set apart from something. You're clean. You're separate. But the truth is, this morning, we can know all the definitions and have all the right answers, but that's not enough. That's not enough for you to live a holy life. The knowledge is important, but that's not enough to keep you. That's not enough to make you holy. There has to be more to it than that. You must do something. You must cleanse yourself. You don't become holy this morning by doing nothing. There's something that you need to do. How are we to cleanse ourselves? How are we to carry out this responsibility of cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit? And Paul says it's in the fear of God. You won't clean yourself very well. You won't live very holy if you aren't gripped by the fear of God. And perhaps this morning you have a small view of God, or perhaps it's not a proper view or a correct view of who God is. And so will also be the way that you live. There's a connection here with understanding who God is, with a connection with how we're going to live, how we're going to cleanse ourselves. There's a thought that translates through there. And so this God of the universe, this God that is making your heart beat right now, this God that knows everything, He is all powerful. This is a God that's so holy that you and I, we can't even bear to see Him or we would fall over dead. This is who God is. He is so light this morning. He is bright and dazzling, the scripture says, that no human can see Him and live. We can't come into His presence. This is who God is. He is very holy. And so the right response to all of this as to who God is, and as we're gripped by the fear of God and of this holy creator that we are endeavoring to serve, this mighty God, it's only those kind of people who become gripped by that. It's only those who will begin to pursue holiness with determination. We're going to do this. I got to do this. My God is holy. He's calling me to live that way. I'm going to do it. I got a part to play in all of this. Well, what is the great motive for us getting the dirt out of our lives, from getting the filthiness out of our lives? Think about filthiness as something that it defiles you, it makes you dirty. It's like a stain, something that soils you. What is it that is to motivate us to pursue holiness and to pursue self-cleansing? Well, Paul says, having therefore these promises. Well, where are the promises that Paul is talking about? We didn't read any promises in this verse, did we? And so our chapter divisions and our verse divisions are helpful for us to find our places in our Bibles, but that's about all they're good for. And so sometimes when you read a chapter, you jump in the middle of somewhere, and when you end at a chapter, you maybe don't get what's beyond that yet. And so chapter divisions are actually not very helpful to us in reading out the Word of God. So let's jump back to verse 14 of chapter 6 and read some verses here. Chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Verse 14, Paul is saying that we're not to be yoked together with unbelievers. There is a distinct separation there. Don't be connected to an unbeliever in a way that it will affect your holiness. If your connection to the lost this morning is contaminating you, separate yourself. You're not yoked together. That is not who you're to be connected to. Separate. Separate yourself. You are going in a different direction. What kind of relationships do you have with lost people? How much influence do they have upon you? Are they affecting the way that you live? If I'm losing ground in my pursuit of holiness because of my relationships with the world, as a Christian, God is telling me I need to be separate. I am not to be yoked with an unbeliever. There is to be a difference there. There's no common ground. We're not lost. We've been saved. We've been washed. We've been cleansed. We've been made new. Yes, we know their lostness. Yes, we know the sin. We know the bondage. We've been there. We can identify with that, but we're going a different direction now. Praise the Lord. We're not where we used to be. So don't yoke yourself with the world. Don't justify yourself. Don't justify. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Do you see the opposites in these verses? We have the fellowship. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Communion. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? We have nothing in common with the world this morning. We have been separated unto God. Do you see that? There is a distinct difference there. No connection. Well, where was the promises that Paul was talking about that are supposed to motivate us to be holy people? Where were the promises at that we read? Well, verse 16, the end of that verse, God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Where did Paul get that promise from? Is that something the Holy Spirit told him? Where does that verse come from? Do we know? We'll go back in your Old Testaments and turn back to Leviticus chapter 26, and we'll see where Paul got this promise from. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 11. And God says, and I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Is that the same promise that we just read? That Paul wrote? I think it is. That's the same promise. That's where Paul got this promise. It was from the Old Testament. It was to the Jewish people. And he picked this promise out as a motivating factor for us to live a holy life. It's mentioned one other place in the Old Testament, I believe, in Ezekiel chapter 37. I'll read that quickly here for us. Ezekiel 37 and verse 27. God says, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There we have that promise again. And Paul gives that promise to us this morning. All right, so that's the first promise that we see, that God says that he will dwell in them and walk in them, and he will be their God, and they shall be my people. In verse 17, we have another promise. God is saying, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 52. It's another place where Paul went back to. He was looking for promises to motivate these people to live a holy life. And these are the promises that he chose. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 11, God is speaking again, and he says, Depart ye, go ye from thence, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Does that sound a lot like verse 17 that we just read? I think it is. Paul was quoting from Isaiah for another promise for us to live a holy life. And in verse 18, and I will be and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's another promise that God gives to us, that Paul is giving to us, to pursue holiness. And if you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7, we will find that promise given to King David. Second Samuel chapter 7. And verse 13. Nathan is talking to David, giving him words from God, and God is saying, David, he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. This was a promise that God had given to King David. This was a promise to David. But Paul, he went back and he got the promise given to King David. And he's writing to these Corinthian Christians. And they were sort of rough-edged Christians. If you read through the book and his letters, that shows that. And Paul is going back. And he's giving these verses to who? To Jews? No, they're to Christian Gentiles. He's giving them to the Gentile Christians. And he's saying, brothers, these are promises for you today to inspire you to cleanse yourself. And so this morning we should be encouraged to read through our Old Testaments. And if you are a Christian this morning, you are a son or a daughter of Abraham. And the promises are for you this morning. They are for you as a child of God. Paul was not ashamed to get these promises given to the Jewish people and give them to the Gentiles and say, here are some promises for you to encourage you, to motivate you, to be holy, to cleanse yourself. All the promises of God are true. They are all true. And they're precious. And they're all for his children. It doesn't matter what time you live in. The promises of God are true for you today. Claim the promises of God. Well, let's look a bit more at these promises. Verse 16, God is saying, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That is a description of what it means to be a true Christian. God dwelling with you. God walking with you. That is what it means to be a Christian. God's dwelling place, he is saying, is with you, is with me. Do we believe that? God says that this is his special place to dwell. This is where he wants to dwell. He says it's with his people. You see action in that verse. God is saying, I'm going to walk in them. This isn't something that's stagnant and lukewarm, but there's action here. There's movement. Something's happening. People are changing. People are growing. God is walking in them. He's doing it. Perhaps you get the feeling that being a Christian is just this lifeless dragging yourself to this church meeting, summer Bible school next week, and you have school board meeting, and you go to this thing and that thing, and you do all these things. And it becomes all about how we act and all the effort we put forth. But in this picture, God is saying that he's going to be the one walking in them. He's going to be the one dwelling within them. That's the action that's in this verse here. This is the promise of God, that he will dwell among us. Where is God this morning? Is he here? Is he here? Did you bring him with you? This promise needs to really grip us. Because if we really believe that God is inside of us, what greater motivation would there be to live a right life? And we say, well, if God was right beside me, or if Jesus was right beside me, well, we would have no trouble doing what's right. Well, I don't think that's true, because God says he's right within us. He's inside of us this morning. Do I believe that? If I believe that, that will be a motivating factor for me to live a righteous life, because God is within me. God is here. This holy God, this creator God, he wants to dwell within his people. Can that be? That's what he wants to be. That's where he wants to be this morning. He wants to be with us. This will make you want to run from the dirt and the filth that wants to come into your life, because God is in you. God is with you. That's his desire. He will be there. This is the only thing that will move a man to pursue holiness with a passion. This is the only thing that will make it possible for you to live a victorious Christian life in the day that you and I live in. It is dark out there. We're bombarded with wickedness and unrighteousness. Just traveling up here, it's just all about us. Remind yourself, God is in me. God's with me. It'll make you look at things differently. So this morning, is God welcomed here? Are you okay to welcome God here this morning? Are you okay to welcome God into your heart this morning? Are you okay with that? Is that something you're not sure about? Well, God is walking in those that he dwells within. He is walking in them. He's not sitting still this morning. And so when you hear of folks that come under conviction and they confess sin in their life, that's God's walking in them. God is walking in them. When you hear of a testimony of someone that chose to do right instead of wrong, that is a testimony of God walking within you. You used to be that person that did the impure things, and now you're choosing to do what's right. Why is that? Because God's walking within you. You're no longer justifying yourself. You're no longer selfish. God is moving you to love, to joy, all the fruit of the Spirit. God will not be content to stand still if he dwells within you. He will expect you to grow. He will want you to change. And things will happen in your life because God is dwelling within you. This is alive. It's life. And so when you awake, God is there. You are here this morning. God is here. This is a personal God. Let's allow God to press upon us his fear, his holiness. This God compels men. He interacts with men. People tremble before this God. Don't touch the unclean thing, Paul says. Cleanse yourself. When God says that this is where he's going to dwell, that means this is where his manifest presence is going to be. And so this morning, if you're a Christian, you are expressing the manifest presence of God. It's where he's dwelling. You are the light this morning. God is the light in you. This is where he dwells. Do you know him? Do you know this God? Have you felt his disgust and his anger and his disdain over sin and impurity? God hates the unclean. God will want to walk and dwell within us this morning if we allow him to. Do you see the condition of this promise? If we want God to walk within us this morning, if we want God to dwell within us this morning, there's something we need to do. We need to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We have a responsibility this morning to come out from among them and to be separate. Separate from those who are unrighteous, those who pollute our minds. Whether it's the sensual music that you want to listen to, whether it's the news feeds, whether it's the podcasts, whether it's, there's so many things that bombard our minds that are not godly. There's things that we can do to separate ourselves from that. Carry the smartphone right in our pocket, and that's a device that will lead us into all kinds of impurity. We better do something about that. We better take strong action against that. Because you'll likely fall if you're careless. It will come to you. It will destroy you. It has me. Don't go there. Separate yourself. And then God says, and I will receive you. In some other versions it says, then I will receive you. It's a condition. It's a conditional verse. It's a conditional promise that God gives to us. We need to do something, and God will do something. I will welcome you. This is a welcoming God this morning. He will welcome you to come to him. He will, if you're willing to come out, if you're willing to make a change, if you're willing to start walking in righteousness and get rid of the filth in your life. This isn't a very, very prevalent thought in our day and age that we live in. And we hear so much of justification by faith alone, and we do away with verses like these. But this morning we are justified by faith alone, but we have something that we need to do because of what's happened to us. So this morning, don't fall into that deception that God does it all. And if you think, well, look, my sins are forgiven, I'm okay, God's forgiven me, probably won't be living really a holy life. This verse is true this morning, and it's for us. Our holiness this morning is not just something that is preferable or just desirable. It is of absolute necessity. There's no exceptions. This has to be who we are. And so this morning, if we don't strive for holiness, you won't get it. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's who will ascend the hill of the Lord. If you have clean hands this morning, something you need to do. You need to cleanse your hands. The only way we will arrive at a church that is holy is when each of us as members are pursuing this. And we strive for this. This is what we want. And so we get together with little groups here and there, and we encourage each other, we strengthen each other, we do Bible studies because we're determined. We're going to do this. I got to do this. I want to do it. I wish I could tell you this morning that it would be easy. I wish I could tell you that it's optional. Your holiness, it's important, but if you're not, it's okay. Like, if you're not quite there. I wish I could tell you that God will do it all for you. I wish I could tell you that, but it's not what Scripture tells us. It's not going to be easy. In fact, it's going to take aggressive action on our part to get there. I mean, Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it is, where he talks about plucking out your eyes and he's cutting off your hands, and that's pretty severe. We're not going to chop our hands off or pluck our eyes out, but there's things that you and I are going to have to deal with decisively. No, that is not going to be. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to think that. Stop right now. We've got to do it. Aggressive action. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You're not going to get to holiness this morning just by coasting. You've got to be violent about it this morning. You're in a battle that, for your soul. It wants to get you. You're going to have to fight this morning. You're going to have to fight hard. You're a soldier. You're a soldier. Yes, we are non-resistant. Yes, we are peace-loving people. But we better not be peace-loving in this area of our lives. We better be very violent in this area. We're going to do aggressive action to get there. It's important to us. So this morning, proper self-cleansing will only be done when we become gripped by who God is, when we become inspired by the promises of God. Our relationship with God this morning is not just based on our forgiveness, but it's based on our holiness as well. Yes, God calls unholy men and unholy women to come to him. And yes, by his Son, he will justify them. Yes, he will clean them up. We have nothing to offer God in our sin and in our brokenness. We are destitute. Jesus offers forgiveness and cleansing. He will do that for us. If you see your need. Hebrews tells us that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Why? Because God is not calling sinners to himself for them to keep on sinning. He's calling them to himself to save them from their sin and to make them righteous. That's God's heart. And so, this morning, if you're a Christian, you have enough of the old within you yet that there's a battle going on right now for you that you need to put to death. You need to crucify your carnal nature as long as you live. It doesn't matter how old you are this morning, you will always have a battle to put to death your carnal nature. It will never be eradicated from you. You will not be fully saved until you have reached the end. You have enough of the new in you to live victoriously, but you have enough of the old to keep you struggling along. Every day you have to put that to death. Choose to kill that thing and destroy it. God is saving us in this life, but it's not complete until we reach the other side. It's not complete until we reach the end of the road. You must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling this morning. You must cleanse yourself inside and outside. So this morning, there's two parts. God will faithfully do his part. Am I going to be faithful in doing my part? That's where our faithfulness is tested. God is always faithful. I'm the one that's unfaithful. And so, God will do his part. Will you do your part this morning? Let's just read you two verses from Colossians chapter 1, where Paul talks about the two parts. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 28, Paul says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Do you see the two parts? Paul is not ashamed to talk like this. Christ will do his part, but Paul says, I'm going to labor. I'm going to strive to live right, to do right. We like to sit and pray this morning. Lord, help me to be holy. Lord, I want to be holy. And I'm not saying we shouldn't pray that, but Paul isn't telling us to pray in this verse to be holy. He's saying we got something to do this morning. We like to sit there and feel, when we pray, we would like to feel a surge of power coming over us that, yes, right now, yeah, I'm going to be holy today. I got God's power. But that's not how it works in the Christian life. It's not until you start to struggle against the filth and the sin and to go a different direction that God will extend to you his grace and his power. But you have a part to play in that. You have an effort to put forth in that. And until you put forth the effort, you're not going to feel the grace that comes. You won't feel the peace that comes until you begin to strive. You begin to work. You've got something to do. Yes, the enemy is big. And you feel like you can't do it. And you feel like you've been in this rut for too long, that you'll never get out of it. It's impossible. But we live our Christian life in our own weakness, and when we are weak, then am I strong. God will come to us in our weakness, and he will help us. So place your eyes on Jesus this morning, and go and fight. It's going to be strenuous. There are going to be maybe some tears. There's going to be lots of sweat. But go and fight, looking to Jesus, claiming the promises of God, that they're yours. God will do what he says. He will. He will dwell with you. He will. He will be with you. He will help you. He will be a father unto you, and he will receive you. He will welcome you. Go and do the difficult things. It will be the most difficult thing you ever will do. But it's a battle that every true child of God will win. They will win this battle. Because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. So don't let the dirt come into your life this morning. If you let the dirt come in, God seems far away and distant and angry and not very welcoming. If you have dirt in your life, get rid of the dirt. Get rid of the dirt. Follow hard after the Lord, and he will come to you, and he will make his abode with you. He will. So let's follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to see God this morning. And so may God help us to be faithful where you are today, young and old, all in between. There's a battle that's raging for us. Go on, faithfully fighting. And yes, God will be faithful. Will you be faithful? Let's pray.